Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today's episode is a special one. I'm sitting down with a woman who, like me, stepped into the spotlight at a very young age through America's Next Top Model, but whose story goes far beyond television. She's here to talk about redemption, identity, and what it looks like to find your footing again when your sense of self has been shaken. If you've ever chased validation, struggled with people-pleasing, or wondered who you are beneath expectations and performance, this conversation is for you. I'm so grateful for her honesty, her wisdom, and the way she points us back to God's grace. Let's dive in. Gianna, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I came across your Instagram page. I don't even really know how I stumbled across it, but God ordained it, and we got to talking, and I got to hear a little bit about your story, and it moved me so much, and I'm so thrilled to be able to share it with the listeners and with the viewers on YouTube. And what's crazy is that you were on America's Next Top Model as well.
Yes.
What a small world.
Yeah, it is a small world, and I just want to thank you so much for your platform. I do believe this is just such a God thing, and I know that there's so much going on in the world right now that people are talking about, so much darkness. So I really appreciate that you're using your platform to bring some light and just some uplifting messages to people who are just have gone through it or in a breaking season. And so I really just appreciate you having me.
Oh, I try to bring some hope. It is a dark world, like you said, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we can shine the light because he is the light of the world. And with him, we have the light of Jesus inside of us. So before modeling or television, who were you as a little girl? Did you like to dress up and dazzle? Were you more of a tomboy?
Oh, yeah. I was dazzled, dress up, dolls, everything. I was super girly girl. I had a tomboy side, but for the most part, I was a pretty observant, sensitive, mature for my age. I had a lot of responsibility really early on. And so I felt things so deeply, and I always took on so much more than I probably should have. But yeah, I love to belong and to do well and be part of groups, activities, sports, modeling especially was just a huge passion. And yeah, sometimes I liked all those things at the same time. So it was a little bit in over my head at times. But yeah, I've always been a super girly girl. I did pageants, which kind of...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did pageants in Denver. I won Miss Teen, Junior Teen Denver here. And that kind of snowballed into my modeling career. I got asked to do some fashion shows locally here in Denver. And back then I was definitely underage. So I was going into bars, sneaking in sometimes before the show would even open when they had porters cleaning the place and setting the runway up. I would just hang out, which is, I'm allowed to say that now because they're all gone. They're closed. But so I made some really good friends back then. But yeah, my mom was not super happy about that. I would call her because that was before Uber and cell phones on a school night in high school. I'm like, Mom, can you come get me? Or so. Yeah, I was just really wanted to be a part of that scene.
You said you had some responsibilities when you were young. What were those responsibilities?
So my mom was a single mom. My parents were separated. And so she took care of my grandmother full time who had MS. And so I took care of my two younger sisters. My older brother, so there's four of us. And my older brother was around, but he was a little bit older. So he was out of the house and stuff. So I helped a lot with my younger sisters. I'm super close with them. I'm actually closer now with my parents than I ever was growing up. There was so much that's just was so complicated growing up between them. And you know, you get married and you become a mom and you just realize your parents are human and they make mistakes. And I thank God every day for his grace and his mercy because it's allowed me to give so much grace to other people and my parents included. Like I tried so hard. To me, love felt very connected to being helpful and agreeable and needed, and that the more accommodating you are, the more loving. And that's not reality, of course, but that's just my way of trying to keep the peace because there was a lot of tension and conflict and drama, and it costs you later on. And you carry that into those patterns, just like everyone has, into other relationships and into your life. I started working really young at 16, 15 or 16. I got my first job. I moved out at 17. I was still trying to model and trying to hustle. I was trying to be kind of just someone who could break out of how I grew up, which was very low income and very, we shopped at thrift stores before it was trendy and cool. And that was like, we called it the near new store. It was like,
oh, we did too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was definitely challenging. And there was a lot of heavy comparison to my friends that had two parent households and money and nicer things. And I love both my parents to death. I know that they tried as hard as they could. And my dad still says the hardest thing he did was walk away. And, you know, I've had conversations with him now, and it's in my own marriage. It's like, sometimes it's harder to stay and fight through that. But I do understand where both of them came from. And I've just grown so much since then. And yeah, I'm really just so thankful to God for that again, just the grace that I've been given to make all those mistakes and still be accepted.
When were you interested in modeling? When did that start? I saw a commercial when I was 5 years old, and I remember being so mesmerized by the girl on the screen, and I wanted to be her. What kind of drew you to the modeling industry?
Yeah, that's a great question. Similar story. I grew up, my 10-year-old self is fangirling right now because I definitely watched you on your season. And so it was like, Aww. Oh my gosh. Top Model, Tyra definitely shaped that. My aunt was a hairdresser, and so she would use me as her model sometimes to do some hair and makeup. And so that really piqued my interest. And then actually when I was in high school, I was a little bit taller than all the other girls and kids in my class, always had been. My sister says I'm 5'11", but I always say 5'10". That's just what I've been told, but I swear I'm shrinking a little now. But so yeah, so just kind of always being tall and standing out. I was always told, wow, you could model. Have you ever thought about that? And then I actually went as a guest on a pageant in my hometown where I went to high school, and I ended up winning that pageant. So that kind of spiraled into the modeling scene, where this was very early with Facebook. I don't even know if Facebook was around, but there was just scouts in Denver that come be at this agency. So I think I signed when I was like 15 with a local agency here, and it was just a lot of local shows, print work. And yeah, so that was the start of my modeling career. Granted, it wasn't ideal, but that was where the door opened and it got my foot in the door. But it was, again, nightlife and bars and being around a certain crowd of people and having this performative persona in order to get jobs or be agreeable. And back then, I didn't have the language for it, being professional or being kind versus self-abandonment. I didn't have that boundary set yet. I didn't have that framework yet because of so many things, so many factors leading up to that point, relationships that I sought validation from, wanting to feel loved, wanting to feel needed, wanting to feel wanted, and just completely confusing the worldly things for what God had already had for me. And I grew up in a Christian household. My mom was very Christian. She still is. And we went to church every Sunday. I was in Bible study. I did a lot of Bible study through youth group at my school. Actually, when I was in grade school, I did our Good News Club, and I led a lot of worship. And it was like once or twice a week where we just went through it. And I knew that God, I had a relationship. I knew who God was, but I was so set on doing everything myself and fixing my life myself and getting things done by myself. I didn't fully surrender and understand what that meant in translating that into what God's purpose and what his true calling for my life was. I was so fixated on doing everything myself.
So we'll get to surrender in a minute, but what shaped your understanding of love and worth and belonging early on?
Yeah. So again, I think it was just that accommodating piece where I was always being very agreeable, and my self-worth was very much shaped in other people's opinions of my identity or what I could do, or having friends, or even before I went on to Top Model, it was like I always was sharing that I wanted to be a model. I wanted to be a model. I wanted to model. And so that kind of got me attention from some of the wrong crowd and older people in those groups. When I was out at nightclubs, you're getting attention from older men or older girls that want to be friends with you. And so I was trying to act more mature than I really was, and going through adversity, you think that I've been through so much and I can handle this. And if I just try to prove myself to this person in this way, they'll accept me and they'll love me. When you're so young and you're trying to form your identity under this much pressure to look good all the time, to be perfect all the time, it becomes performative and it becomes exhausting because I'm trying to be follow your heart and follow what the world wants you to be. And it's like Jeremiah says, your heart is literally the most deceptive thing about you. And we can't change it. We can't change that. The only thing you can change is giving that over to God. But again, I was so fixated on I could do everything myself and being hyper independent. So that was really where my first idea of love and relationship and being lovable came from, was just being agreeable all the time.
It was the root of it, your parents separating. Did you take that personally? Like you were one of the reasons why?
Yeah, I think that definitely now as a parent, I can be like, oh my gosh, yeah, having kids is absolutely wild. It just tests your relationship in so many ways. But yeah, I definitely internalized that, having a broken home. We saw my dad and we were around him on weekends and holidays and stuff. But yeah, their communication and their relationship definitely creates a voice in your head, and it creates, oh, this is how couples talk to each other. This is how to handle conflict. And it's not that they were doing anything wrong that they knew they were fighting and in front of us. It's, oh, this is just how we handle conflict, or this is how things are done in my house. It's loud. Doors are slammed. People leave. People storm out. It was like very reactive. And so that had a lot to do with how I, and again, you pick up those patterns and you carry them little by little into relationships and into the ring with other people who have been through their own stuff. And I use the word trauma very lightly, I want to be careful with how I use that word, because I know it's such a broad term and there's people whose trauma is just like unspeakable and there's so many things, but we saw a lot of conflict. There was a lot of very volatile situations. So I definitely always felt like I had to protect my little sisters. I had this sense of like overprotection of them. And now I realize it was just me trying to protect myself as a little kid, because you're just defenseless and you're just so helpless. You just see the conflict. You don't really understand what's going on.
How would you describe your faith growing up?
My faith was definitely present. It was there. My mom is amazing. She made sure that we had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's like the best gift you can give a kid, other than siblings maybe, is that relationship and that gift of deeply pouring into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I knew what that was. I didn't get baptized actually until 5 years ago. My husband baptized me. And so she always said it was like your choice when you're ready. And so she was there with me the day that I got baptized. It was so cool. It was so amazing, because I really didn't feel ready and I really didn't feel worthy of it, to be honest with you. It's so crazy. But yeah, so my faith was there. God was so real to me. It wasn't something I knew how to rest in yet, though. It was like I believed in him. But again, I felt so responsible for figuring everything out by myself.
I understand the performance aspect of what you're talking about, because I started to find my identity in how well I performed. I was a girl on national TV who said no, the one who walked out of a David Letterman direct booking, and the one who didn't go to the club. So I started to find my worth and my value in that. And eventually I crashed and burned, because it's not sustainable. And I needed to learn to lean on God's grace. And his grace is what keeps us and strengthens us and empowers us. And so I completely relate to the performance part. So what season of life were you in emotionally when you got on America's Next Top Model?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny hearing people's stories of Top Model, because everybody has a different perspective, but we all can relate to certain aspects of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was very emotionally raw. I was searching for sure, doing a lot of soul searching and a lot of just, I had just come out of a really painful breakup and I was really craving direction, some stability and affirmation, which is the complete opposite of what you get on a public show like that for modeling. And it's so different from reality TV. It is just really its own animal, and no disrespect to the show at all, but you don't truly understand what you're stepping into with that show until you're in it. And I didn't even realize until we were continuing to film and as the audition process went along that I was even selected. I kept just going with the flow. And oh, you got another callback. And what a lot of people don't know, and I'm sure, is like you go to a city. I think ours was cast in LA and yours was probably in New York, but you're there. And I could be gone for a month or 2 months. You pack your bag and you don't know when you're going to be back from filming. But yeah, I was in a really emotionally raw place when I went on the show. Really fragile.
I have a random question, but on season one, they did not do this to us, but on All Stars, they did. They kept us in solitary confinement, so I could not leave my hotel room. I want to say it was 3 days, and I did not get a heads up, and that was a shock to my system because they took my cell phone. I had to go through a couple psychological tests, and there was actually someone like sitting outside my door. Did you guys do that on cycle 20?
They did. Yeah, okay. They did. Actually, I kept a journal. Thank God I brought a journal at that time because I go back and read it and I'm just like, wow, I was in a really rough spot. It was around this time of year also. It was in February, again, going through a breakup. Like, and again, looking back, it's wow, God has brought me so far. Thank God for that. But yes, we were quarantined in our room. There was someone outside my door. They took our phones. It was wild. And we had to do the psychological test. It definitely added to a layer of what did I get myself into? What is going on? Yeah, they did that.
I had no clue. It was a shock. So I didn't know if they started doing that later on in the seasons. Because on cycle one, we went right into the house and we were like, hello, everybody. How are you? I actually had physical symptoms from that. I was so stressed and I had so much anxiety. There were some physical things going on. And I remember one time I said, if you guys don't let me call home, I might leave. And they did. They brought in a cell phone and I could call. I just could not say where I was or what I was doing, which was fine.
I probably put your loved ones under a lot of stress too, because they don't know where you're at. All they know is, hey, they're taking my phone. Talk to you when I talk to you. Again, I didn't have that voice. I didn't speak up for myself because I was just being very agreeable. I did not have that language and I didn't have that boundary and that mindset. But I love that for you. I should have, but I was just trying to be agreeable, because I kept mistaking that for being professional. And
I was older. I think I was 27 on All Stars.
Oh, yeah. So that, yeah, I think I was 19 or 20. Maybe I just turned 20.
So I had a few years on you.
On that end. Yeah.
Still don't beat yourself up too much. Without sharing details, you want to keep private. How did that season affect how you saw yourself?
It made me see myself more through external feedback more than anything. And again, I didn't have that internal anchor yet. My life was just like this. Like I was just didn't have my sea legs yet. I really took rejection personally on that season. And there were moments on the show where I would speak up and I would say, no, I'm not going to say that, or I'm not going to participate in that. And I got harsh feedback from it. And of course, internalized it and on the surface acted like everything was okay. But then it developed into more and more of watching it back. It's so hard. I barely watched it back. I think I maybe watched it back once. It's so bizarre to me.
I watched All Stars once as well. And that's why I never saw your season. After All Stars, it brought up too many emotions that I didn't want to relive. And so I just moved on. And obviously I've forgiven all the things, but I just wished on All Stars, they would have respected me. If I don't think I need to say no multiple times. If I say no, that's it. We all grow. We all learn. We're on a different space. And from their perspective, they're making a reality show, but it is my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they were trying to push a narrative that I was like lovesick for this other contestant on the show, because it was also, I didn't know it was co-ed until I showed up to the audition in Hollywood. I filled everything out and I got there and I'm like, oh, is this American Idol? What is this? Like, why are there so many people? And they said, oh, it's guys and girls. And I got pulled out of the line and a scout privately pulled me. So it got me moved up to the front of the line for my audition. So things just started happening really fast after that. And I was just, again, just moving a million miles a minute. But yeah, it was, I was being agreeable. I was trying to be likable and be friendly with everyone. And it just morphed into a storyline they knew I had come out of a breakup and were trying to make it look like I was emotionally interested in someone else on the show. It was not. It was just friendly. But of course, in reality TV, they can take clips. That's what I try and tell everyone. Just watch it with discernment, and you don't know how they're going to edit anything. And I'm glad I did have some discernment, because I wasn't overly, I don't know. I think I've always been an open and talkative person, but I withdrew a little bit on this show. And there were certain parts in this little voice in my head that was like, okay, maybe draw that back a little bit, which I'm thankful for looking back.
Yeah, I was quiet on season one at certain times because I had no idea what to expect. They had never had a season of America's Next Top Model. So I'm walking into, we didn't know. We didn't have anything to compare it to, but definitely interesting.
It is wild. Yeah.
Wish people understood about how young and vulnerable many contestants are at that stage. You said you were around 19 and I was 18 on season one.
Yep. Most people, you're still forming your sense of self and your identity. in the world. And if you're lucky enough, your identity and your sense of self through God's eyes and not the world's eyes. But at that age, of course, I knew that. But somewhere there was a disconnect where I was, again, pulling my sense of self-worth through worldly things and worldly approval and what I could achieve, not materialistically, but in that way. And so you're asking really young people to perform professionally with cameras everywhere in front of celebrities, in front of Tyra Banks, and they're still learning who they are. And so it's hard. And yeah, the piece about not talking to your family, not having a phone, you're in a house with a bunch of strangers, you're mic'd up, and then you're having to perform. And it's this constant internal pressure and noise. I was there. I remember it all vividly, but it was so out of body for me because I was like, you think you're ready until you're there and you're in it and you realize, wow, this is intense. This is a lot. These days are really long. And we'd be up at before sunrise and back well after dark and then turning around and doing it again. And so, yeah, it was tough. And I wish people were more forgiving because the social media aspect came into play. On that season, they had social media judges. They didn't have the traditional panel of Nigel, Nole, Janice, Tyra. They didn't have that. Ms. J.
For the whole season, it was social media judges?
So there were four judges. It was Kelly Catrone, Tyra Banks, Rob Evans, an influencer named Brian Boy. And then the other judge was basically social media. So add that layer. I didn't even have Instagram when I went on the show. Like other contestants that did were like laughing at me. So this was, 2012 or 2013. Instagram was around, but I didn't know. I was, again, thought that I was a little more mature than I was or more savvy. I didn't even have Instagram. So they had to make me an Instagram. One of the producer or on set, like PAs or someone had to help. Same with a Facebook, like a fan page. I had a very private personal Facebook page I think I made in high school. And so there was this whole other piece of social media. So people were just vicious, just ripping you apart on there. And I came home and after the show got done filming and had a flood of followers, a flood of messages, some amazing, some really hurtful. So it was like, wow, that will mess with a highly sensitive person, like truly.
Yeah, they can be brutal online behind a screen. They'll say a lot of things that they'll never say to your face. And it's to get a reaction. It's to shame you, condemn you, whatever their purpose might be. But I try to look at them as super broken and what's going on in their life, what happened in their past that's causing them to be so mean, so angry, and so hurtful and just malicious. And there's always a block button. Eventually, if they keep coming around, sometimes you just have to use them. There's a season later on, I think it was after Top Model, that you described as following your heart rather than God's truth. When did you start to realize that those weren't the same thing?
Yeah. So after I got off the show, I was disoriented. Like I came home and the momentum had stopped, but the internal pressure did not stop. I had you're under this NDA. When you come home, you can't share anything with family until the show comes out. And I had to go back to work. And then I was still trying to adjust to modeling and decompressing, I would say. Eventually, I decided, you know what, I want to get out of my hometown. I want to move to New York City instead and just take a shot at it. I had some auditions lined up for New York Fashion Week, which was great. I booked those. It was difficult for me because where I kept wanting to go, it was just exhausting and confusing and just felt like spinning my wheels. And so, yeah, I took a good 5 years from right after the show aired and I moved to New York City and just threw myself into that world of modeling and quickly got rolled into after parties, nightclubs. What am I doing in the Hamptons at 6 a.m. watching the sunrise from this celebrity's patio with a group of friends that I don't really know? They're not really my friends. And just feeling really homesick. And feelings are real. I'm a huge advocate for therapy and self-help and all the things. But all that's meaningless unless you're grounded with God at the center of your life. And I knew God was telling me in those moments, like, just you feel this kind of darkness and this heaviness when you're at these parties and you're around these people. And it's wild. So you can be around a room full of people and just feel so alone. And or you just feel this little voice calling and pulling in the back of your ear, Gianna, you need to go home. You need to go to bed. And I did. It was like, this was, I always just felt so out of body. Like, this is what I have to be doing. And so that led me again to another relationship that was long-term, that was just really volatile and messy when I was in New York and trying to sort my own stuff out. And I don't know, I don't believe that person was a believer. Not a bad person. Just, I just kept feeling my heart. I just kept feeling my heart tell me, sorry, you need to move home. You need to be back home. You need to stop what you're doing, basically. Because I was traveling and I was booking jobs, but again, I was so tired. I was so disconnected. And I look back at myself at that time and I just looked like a completely different person. I was not the same. My glow was just gone. I was like completely, not jaded, but there is a spiritual, the Bible says that if you're saved, you basically can't be possessed, but you can have things attached to you. And I think that the people that I was surrounding myself with and the lifestyle I was surrounding myself with really just was not sitting right with my spirit. And I just felt, God, you need to go home. So I literally took a suitcase, packed up, went back home, lost my job, my friends, my home, all my belongings. And I went to New York with one suitcase and I went home 5 years later with one suitcase because I only planned on staying in New York for about 2 to 3 months.
Wow.
Complete fashion week. Yeah.
During those 5 years when you were in New York, did you feel God pursuing you?
I did. And I kept running. And I'm like, no, I'm going to keep living my life the way I want to. And I'm going to keep doing what I want and going where I want and living a life that I want. And I knew it was like, it was not wrong in that sense. I don't want to shame anyone or think I'm any better now. But to me and my spirit, I didn't know at the time that was discernment. I eventually started saying no and stepping away little by little. And it felt really isolating and lonely because I liked being at these places and these important parties and with these important people and jet setting. But in the back of my mind, I was like, wow, this is just not feeding me. There was a church there that was set up. It was a Christian church I got invited to by a friend. And it was coincidentally in a bar on Sunday mornings I would rent out in Union Square in New York City. And just like going there and the smell of alcohol the next morning on a wet wood New York bar and stuff, it was like, this is intense. This is a lot. But I started listening to a podcast from Redeemer Church in Texas. And I just kept little by little crowding out the negativity and the darkness with more and more scripture because I was so off course. And just, I felt it. My family felt it. I just knew I was not being authentic to myself or God. And it's like, where are you going to run and hide from God? Really, where are you going to hide? It's like, you feel like you can, but you really can't. And so I just, I moved home and felt like, again, there were so many jobs and offers. And I remember a movie, my acting agent at the time sent me on a movie audition and I got the part. They were like, you're a shoo-in. I had already auditioned like 2 or 3 times for this part. It was a little bit more than an extra. You have 1 or 2 lines. It was a big movie at the time. And my card or something got swapped with someone else's. They confused me with someone else later on. I didn't end up booking that job. And I feel like if I did, because it was, it had offsite locations and shooting and I would have had to travel for it. I did end up getting the extra part or whatever. And later on, my agent was like, well, what happened? I literally had you signed up for this part. And I just feel, okay, God.
Wow.
They had my headshot, everything lined up. I handed it to the on-set casting director and everything that was there. And later on, there was a mix-up. And I did not end up booking the bigger part that I was supposed to book. And I just looked at that. Okay, is this rejection or is this some kind of redirection? Where do I need to go from here? And instead of looking at everything as rejection, I really think it was God's protection over me in my life. My mom says that all the time, by the grace of God, you're okay. I come home and it's still processing some of the things and situations I put myself in where I was like, what am I doing right now? Gianna, what are you doing at 2 in the morning in New York City in a car full of girls and going, where are you? What are you doing?
I was going to ask you that. You answered my question. In the moment, did it feel like rejection or protection? Because often in the moment, you feel like you're being rejected. I remember I went to a casting in California for Diet Coke, and it was between me and one other girl. And when I arrived, one of my friends says, I really think you should dye your hair brown. I think you'll do really well out here because there's a lot of blondes with blue eyes. So I did not pray about it, which is not typical for me. And I dyed my hair brown and they chose the blonde for the Diet Coke commercial. And in that kind of world, I don't think casting directors and those kind of people can imagine you with a different hair color. That's just what I've experienced. I was so upset. In that moment, I felt rejected. And there's been a lot of times in my life, if I look back, I've felt rejected. But now I see a completely different perspective. And he's been so protective of me as his child and as his daughter. I'm just so incredibly grateful.
Yeah. No, that's so true. I felt that too, because on my season of Top Model, I got the chop. I'm the one that got, me and one other girl got our hair chopped, and it was like up to here. It was a long bob. I still had a baby face, if I'm being honest. It was like, yeah. And so they chopped it. And it was like, because then in that season, it was, you had a choice of, you can go with the social media's vote for your makeover, you can go with the Top Model makeover. And I'm like, well, what girl is it? I should have known. That just should have been my first thing. The Top Model makeover would be probably a little more extreme. But I think the social media makeover was like honey blonde with extensions, which is, I rocked that look for a little bit after it later on. But I got out of the show and I couldn't afford professional hair extensions. Every casting director and agent that I went to said, okay, we either have to wait till your hair grows out, or you're going to have to chop it all the way like into a pixie because this mid-length is just not suiting your face. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? It was crazy. So I was like, okay, let me get another job. So I started bartending in the meantime to try and pay my bills until my hair would grow out and I could go get these bigger jobs. And it was just, I would book little small things here and there. Traveling all over. I traveled to Miami. I did travel to LA for a couple jobs and was just really living what I thought I was supposed to be doing, was just striving. And now I just, it's, man, what would it have looked like if I just surrendered and stayed put and trusted? God will take care of you. If your passion is really modeling and being in entertainment and using you as a, it'll happen. But I was just so fixated on forcing it and trying to prove myself. And it was just hard. It was really hard.
You brought up surrender. What did surrender actually look like for you? Not spiritually in theory, but practically.
To me, it just looked like basically walking away from everything. And I thought I would spend the rest of my life in New York City. I didn't want to come home. I didn't have to deal with any family drama. I didn't have to deal with any friendship drama. I was a complete, and I love the friendships that I made in New York. I did have genuine friends. It wasn't like I was there being fake. I was truly trying to build something there. And I had amazing friends that just poured into me and loved on me. And I had one friend who actually did point me back to Jesus at the very end when I was at my darkest time, sitting on her couch, going through another breakup and didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And she said, I am going to start praying for you, but here's what you need to do. You need to start praying for you and you need to pick yourself back up and you need to go to God and see what He is wanting for you. And that kind of shook me because I was like, oh, duh, why didn't I think of that? And yeah, so I walked away from everything that I had built my whole identity around and was this small town girl, went on Top Model, moved to New York City and is making it. And so, yeah, I moved home and I let go of everything. It was like, it was wild. I came home, I had nowhere to go. I went to my mom's house and stayed there for a little bit. I stayed with my sister for a little bit. It was a very humbling time. It was very humbling, but it was also very freeing. And it just stripped me down to what actually mattered. And it was wild because I had been just this hyper independent person from the age of 17 until 27. There was a 10-year span there where I was just completely trying to take responsibility for my own life and forcing doors to open. And I just came home and I was like, yeah, I remember going through a lot of physical things at that time too. I was so stressed out. I was sick with it. I never had the flu. I got the flu. I got sick with something else. I was losing a ton of weight. I was just like not sleeping. I had so many other, I don't know, just physical things happening in my body. And I just felt truly like it was God just cleansing me of all of that and letting all of that go. And it was so scary because I kept wanting to go back to New York. I'm like, I've been home for a week and I'm like, well, I'm going to book a ticket back to New York. And then I got the flu and I was like, okay, I can't fly with this. I'm so sick. My mom's okay. I tried to book it again. And I think I got sick with something else. I don't even know what it was, but I had to go get antibiotics. And I'm like, okay, can't travel again. This happened like 3 or 4 times. There was just back to back things that I was ending up in urgent care for. And I'm like, this is wild. So I let my plane ticket expire and I just didn't go back to New York. And it was amazing. And then later that year, I met my husband. I re-met him. I knew him in high school. And we didn't date. And I was begging God, put someone in my life. Not that he was the missing piece or whatever. He was in such a big way. He really has been a huge part of my life. And he's such a strong Christian. Like, I look at us as very equally yoked. And it was someone I was praying for. I was a Christian, and the relationships I had been in the past, they were not. And I'm like, oh, I can change that. I can fix that. You really can't unless someone is ready to take that step themselves. And so I needed him to be that strong and steady. And yeah, I had to completely start over. And I was telling him, I'm like, look, this is where I'm at. And he was like, all right. He was very patient and very loving, and he has such a soft heart for God. And I love that about him so much. And I'm so grateful for him.
So when you moved back home, did you start going to church and reading your Bible and pursuing God?
Not immediately. Okay. I fell right back into my old patterns when I moved home. I was going out again. I was partying. I took a job where I was traveling, doing the whole nightlife thing again. And I was still doing some modeling. I went actually right back and tried to get signed with an agency. And I was missing, I think right when I was going to get comp cards done, which is crazy, I found out I was pregnant with my first child, with my daughter. And I never heard back from them. I wrote back and I was like, hey, I just found out that I'm pregnant and stuff. But yeah, and I didn't hear back. So I was like, okay. But no, yeah, not immediately. I had got my own apartment. I got back on my feet. A few months into that is when I re-met my husband. We bumped into each other and we both just knew. It was like God just brought so much together of all places to move back to in Denver. We ended up moving 2 minutes apart from each other downtown. And it was just wild. I mean, it's not wild, it's God. But I did start going back to church eventually with my husband. And I just feel like marriage, it's so funny because people think that you have to be perfect to come back to God and you have to be perfect to start over. And I was not. I still am not. And I would be dead by the time I'm perfect trying to have this relationship with God. But yeah, I just jumped right back in my mess. And oh, there's this beautiful song that I love. It's Maverick City Music. And I think her name is Hendrix Brown. And she just says, you met me in my mess and you stayed. There are songs that just wreck me that speak to my soul like that. The other one that I love is, it's Ashley Hess at Maverick City Music. It's called Yet. And she is so beautiful. Chandler Moore opens it and he says, God, I know I'm not your best. And I know I have a lot to change, but it says I'm trying. Just don't leave me here. Don't leave me alone. And that's where I was. I was like, God, oh, I'm trying not to cry, but it spoke to me. And it also talks about coming so far and still having so far to go. But yeah, just that surrender. We started going back to church. I think just a few weeks into us dating, we decided we were going to get married. And his dad was our minister and he married us. It was amazing. It was so beautiful with just our close friends and family. So yeah, we did start going back to church. He baptized me a couple months later and it was so beautiful and so life-changing and amazing. And then right after that is when I found out actually I was pregnant with my daughter. So many things God blessed when I surrendered and stopped striving to keep pushing and pushing. And that's really what I want people to take away also, just from everything I'm saying. Everybody that knows me, that knows my story, they know that I am a fighter. And I did have to grow up being a little tough where I grew up. It was a tough neighborhood and a tough school. We didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have the nicest cars. So I was tough, but I didn't want to be. I wanted to be soft. And that's really where my heart is, just being really soft and vulnerable with people. But the world makes you a little edgy and makes you kind of have to be a little bit rough. Again, so thankful for God's grace. I have messed up so many times in my life, personally, professionally, in relationships and friendships. And it's really hard not to beat yourself up and stay down when you're in those places. And when you don't get a call back or when you miss an opportunity with modeling and you put so much stock in what other people say about you, that's your worth, really messes with you.
It definitely does. How would you describe your life now as a wife and a mother?
Yeah.
Her face lit up. It was so awesome.
It has changed me in the best way. I definitely feel more grounded. It's not to say that we don't go through spiritual warfare. As a mom, I think there is nothing more sacred than protecting your children. It's wild. I look at my children and I speak over them every night. You are Colossians. You're chosen, holy, and dearly loved. I want my kids to know their relationship with Christ first. I want them to go to God first so that rejection doesn't ever get the final word. I always try to speak that over them. And yeah, my life now is just, I feel more purpose-filled. I feel more grounded. I definitely feel peaceful. Marriage and motherhood has refined me. It is still got a lot of sharp edges that I need to soften out and round out because the enemy just wants to part these beautiful marriages and unions. My husband's a very God-fearing, strong, loving man. I'm very God-fearing and loving myself. Like I said, we're equally yoked, but the spiritual attacks come in the form of stress, of work, of external issues. And I finally somewhat feel like we're just in a place that's so amazing. And I love being a mom. I feel like it has been my biggest accomplishment in life. I just had a baby a couple months ago. I had him naturally. It was so amazing in a water birth. And it's, wow, you really can't tell me anything. God has designed our bodies so perfectly and so amazingly. Like that in itself was such a cool experience. And also, I feel like it healed this inner voice, this inner critic that I was to myself. I never thought I would feel this steady. I never thought I would have this peace in this life. And I look around my home, look at my children, I look at my husband, and I'm like, thank you, God. We start every prayer with a thank you. And it's before I ask for anything from God, I thank him because I never could have imagined this life. And I know it's only going to get better the more I pour in and the more I surrender over to him, because there are days where you're in the thick of it as a mom. It's like any job I've ever had does not compare to the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week motherhood job.
Yes, I would agree. I got a taste of it. I don't have any kids of my own, but I was a nanny for my niece and nephew for 8 years and 6 years.
Oh, yeah.
And wow, I came home exhausted, but I got to give them back to my sister. So I got a peaceful night's sleep. But the calling of being a mom is incredible because there are two things in this world that are eternal: God's word and someone's soul. Everything else, we can't take it with us. So what you are teaching your children is truly so valuable and it's priceless.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's the other thing too. It's like, that's all I care about. I want to take them with me to heaven. My daughter, it's just beautiful seeing their relationship. I look at her and it's so amazing. And it's, wow, there's this young, beautiful soul that I want nothing of what I had to ever hurt, to ever have to experience, having to figure things out on her own. When really, I didn't have to. That was just what I chose. I chose to walk that walk in myself. And it was like, yes, I had people in my life that loved me that were telling me, okay, maybe don't do that. Maybe nobody could tell me anything. I was just like, I'm going to figure this out and I'm going to make it happen. The thing with kids is children are full of so much grace. I can have a horrible meltdown or a stressful moment. And my daughter says, mommy, you just need to take a deep breath. And I'm like, you are so right. Or it's okay, mommy. If that's not a reflection of God's design, I mean, they're amazing and they are a blessing from him and they are a miracle. Kids are just a miracle in general. And I'm so grateful to be able to have them. They've taught me so much about grace and slowing down and living peacefully and simply.
What has God healed or restored that you never thought was possible?
That's a great question. Yeah, healing that inner self-critic I've had. I know that I've had that voice in my head for so long. You are not good enough. You are not pretty enough, thin enough, tall enough, fit enough for this job. You're not. And that really most of my adolescence to now has been shaped by how I've been viewed for modeling. Like from a young age, I was told that from, I think, 14 or 15 when I auditioned or started doing pageants, I was being coached and told, you need to drop weight. You need to fit into this dress. You need to do your hair this way, or you need to perform. And so to me, I feel like healing and still healing that inner critic, because as sharp tongue as I can be towards myself, I could definitely direct that at other people and be critical. And it's, wow, I've learned that to just be quiet. That's what God has been telling me the last year or two, is just trust me, just trust me, just be quiet and not be so sharp and so hard on yourself and hard on others.
There's wisdom sometimes in silence. We don't have to speak and give our opinions all the time. It's a daily thing. We have to remind ourselves of who we are in Jesus Christ, because the enemy and our own hearts and culture and people and social media will tell us everything that we are not. We don't measure up. We don't have enough. We don't look like her. We are this. We are that. Every day I try to get in the word and remind myself of who I am in Jesus, because at the end of the day, I'll be standing before him and him alone.
Absolutely.
What would you say to a young woman who is chasing validation in an industry or in a relationship right now?
I would say that God created you with purpose. He knit you together in your mother's womb, right? And go to him, open your Bible and see what he says about you, that you are royalty in his eyes and you are just his most cherished possession. We're made in his image. And there is no relationship that can give that to you until you have that relationship with God first. And there are so many apps and people out there. It's not like you have to drop what you're doing and go to church and be perfect and get cleaned up and go to church every week for him to love you. He will come meet you and sit with you in your mess and your hardest breakup on the bathroom floor, on your friend's couch, on your friend's floor, you name it. I've been through all of that. And I continued to let people define me and tell me who I was. And when I just dropped all of that, and I wasn't even perfect when I got married. My relationship with my husband, we've been married almost 7 years and we're still growing and we're still fighting. We're still choosing each other every day. But because we both know what God says about us, and same for men, young men, just what the world says about you or Instagram or women, or it is nothing compared to what God thinks about you and how much he loves you and just that he knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. That line just blew my mind. And again, another song lyric that she says, of all places to dwell, you chose my heart to be your dwelling place. My messed up, dark, chaotic, sinful, rebellious heart. You chose to make that your dwelling place. So if that doesn't tell you what God thinks about you, I mean, I will just keep praying that the right audience finds this and hears it and believes that. And truly, my inbox is always open. My DMs are always open. If anyone wants someone to talk to, there is probably very little that could faze me at this point in my life from what I've seen and experienced myself that would faze me. So if anyone needs someone to talk to, or you need someone to just love on you and pour God's word over you, my DMs are always open. I love doing that for people.
Can you tell me your handle and an email address if you want to share it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my handle on Instagram is just Gianna Davis, J-I-A-N-A Davis. And same with my email. It's just giannadavis@gmail.com. I want anyone listening to hear that. Just let God define you first. And don't be afraid of what the world thinks, that they think you're a Bible thumper, or that you're too religious or you're too serious. The most secure and purposeful relationship you'll ever have is with your creator. And the Bible literally says he's coming back like a thief in the night for his bride, the church. And it gives me chills when I say that. We talk about that a lot in our home. And I just pray for everyone who doesn't have a relationship with God to surrender and to find him and not harden your heart so much, because this industry, modeling, acting, entertainment, can really harden you really quick. And it happened to me. I experienced it full on. I really numbed myself to a lot. And I'm so grateful and thankful that God literally at the drop of a hat can turn your life around within a year's time of completely crashing out, turn my life around, met my husband. We have an amazing life, an amazing, beautiful family. We have so much to be so thankful for. Are we perfect? No. Do we have struggles? Yes. But you just become unshakable when you know what God says about you. You can become so calm and so strong in your power. And I really wish that I was stronger in my power in times when I really needed to be. And I was not. And I was afraid of what people would think, that, oh, your friend group's going to kick you out and not invite you anymore because you're too Christian. I really let that bother me. And now it's, yeah, call me that. Say whatever you want about me. I know God's truth.
Now you can encourage other young girls. Hey, this is what I learned. You can use those lessons as a classroom. They don't have to be your coffin.
Yeah, seriously. That's the other thing too. It literally does not matter how far you have wandered, how far you have gone, how off the rails. God will always forgive you. There's always forgiveness there. And it's the same thing in our marriage when we have a little tiff or a fight or whatever. It's because I know God and because I have the Bible. I have all these tools, references from start to finish. Everything that you're going to deal with in your life, pain, heartache, depression, death, life, whatever, lust, drinking, everything. It covers every topic that you could think of. And if I didn't know that and I didn't truly have that as a framework for our relationship. And we're still building on that. We still have to get reminded sometimes, right? But yeah, just having that piece of forgiveness and just changing your mind and just thinking, okay, I have a whole new day to get it right. I have another day. What a blessing. Instead of beating yourself up and living in the shame and running away, it's like, I have a new calling. I have a new name. I have a new identity in Christ. And that's who I am. That's who I want to be. So if I lose friends or followers, the deeper I go, the more I share, fine, so be it. So be it.
He's able to bring in new ones. And I found that it's better to have a few that are faithful than lots. I'm thankful for the few.
Yeah. And I know I'm thankful for you too. Just this platform again, everything that you're doing and your mission and your focus behind it. Again, it's like this conversation transcends everything, politics, race, everything, identity. It's like this personal relationship and this calling that I feel really right now, because we are here and then you're gone. And it's really powerful if you, and I think especially this generation and these younger people that are coming to Christ, if social media is the way that they're going to bump into him, great. I think that's amazing. I think that we should keep trucking on with that and sharing our stories, because it brings so many people out of their mess and it says, okay, I'm here. I'm shoulder to shoulder with you and you don't have to bear it alone.
Amen. You don't. God can use anything. He can use social media. I think he's amazing. I've had people say before, why were you ever in the modeling industry? It's so dark. But God places his people in all kinds of different fields and all kinds of different industries because he wants us to bring the light of Jesus Christ. And that's what my goal was in modeling, was to shine for him. Was I perfect? No, not by any means. But I did try to keep my hands clean and to obey him at all costs. And I learned a lot along the way, but I want to bring him glory. I want to redeem the times. Like you said, we never know when he's going to come back. So we have to be ready. And someone might hear your story and see themselves in it and find great encouragement. And a light bulb might go off and be like, wow, if she came back to God in her mess and her struggles and all that she went through, well, so can I. And that's my heart and hope for this podcast, is that people will hear it, and the prodigals and the runaways and the wanderers and the ones filled with so much shame will realize that God's grace is enough for them. And I know personally, because I was in the mess of my own rubble and ash, and God was there and he knelt down beside me and he lifted my head, even though I was a guilty one. And he told me, child, daughter, come home. And I didn't have to clean myself up. He just wants us. He wants a relationship with us. And I will never be able to explain his love and his grace. I'll keep trying, but it's unexplainable to me. Maybe you can.
Yeah. No, it is. It's true. It is such an amazing thing. And really, unless you've experienced it, and that's my prayer truly for people, is that they can truly experience it. Because without that, you don't know what your purpose is. You don't know what, you know, where you're going in life or what your life might mean for you after you've spiraled so far. And that, but that's what the enemy wants, right? He wants us to keep us trapped in our thoughts. He wants us to turn our face from God. And even on the season of Top Model that I was on, we were doing photo shoots, like cross-dressing, same-sex marriage, walking through the streets of Los Angeles in our underwear to do a challenge, and doing kind of some risque interviews on the street with a mic in our ear, and say this to so-and-so, to the person off the street. And I ignored it. I just wouldn't say it. I kept the conversation going a different direction. Of course, got scolded for that. And so it was hard for me watching that back. And it was hard for me on the show because I didn't speak up and say, no, I'm a Christian. This is not something I'm comfortable with, because I was afraid of persecution and afraid of being judged. And it's like you said, the only one I'm going to have to kneel before and be judged by is the Lord. I tell this to my kids too. Anytime there's something scary that they're watching or they feel afraid, it doesn't compare. You should never fear the enemy or the darkness. That is scary, but never fear that more than you fear God, because he's all powerful. He will protect. You never have to be afraid of anything, knowing how strong your God is. And so that's helped a lot. When they were pretty selective and careful about what we allow in our house and with them to watch, but just even on that show, that season, I know it's designed to push the envelope and it is a reality show and everything, but looking back and thinking back to some of those challenges, you think you're going to go on a real photo shoot or a real campaign and try your hardest and be yourself. And I just kept confusing professionalism and being agreeable with abandoning my true sense of self. And I do regret that. But again, I'm just thankful for God's grace that now I do have a platform that I can share that message with.
I think what was confusing to some viewers is they assume that models have to do anything and everything, but even Tyra doesn't do certain things. She told me that she doesn't pose nude, but she will assimilate nudity. I didn't want to assimilate nudity because if my dad or some random person saw that picture, they would assume I would be nude. And that was a non-negotiable for me. Before I ever got into modeling, I had things that I would not do no matter how much money or how much fame I would get. After I saw myself on season one for the Wonder Bra shoot, I was so convicted and I denied my conscience and I did the shoot anyway, but I decided to never do underwear again, even though I got asked lots of times. But we are able as models to tell our agents what we won't do. So they will not submit us to jobs. They will not send us to castings. We're not costing anyone any money because they're not even pushing us for those jobs. So some of the viewers didn't understand that because of the show, but we were told we had to do certain things, but we didn't really have to. In the real modeling world, you don't have to do those things.
That's true. Yeah, no, that's a great point that you bring up, that crossover between reality and TV and modeling and anyone that's in the industry. I think that's a great piece, is that there is language there to protect you. Don't be afraid if an agency drops you. I've been dropped many times. I've been denied many times. For looks, not necessarily because I said I will or won't do this. I eventually shifted away from that and tried to get into more commercial work, which again was testing my limits. And I didn't have language. I didn't have boundaries enough to say, no, I'm not comfortable with that. And I think a lot of young, vulnerable women and men have problems with that because they want to be agreeable and they want to be loved. And that's the only way for them to feel like they can book a job is by just saying yes to everything. Then you're going to go to this after party. And after that, you're going to brush shoulders with this person who's going to get you on their jet to go to this job. Debauchery. It's just all debauchery. And it's like, you are your own advocate, really. You have to be. And I've had mothers of young girls that want to get them into modeling at a young age. And it's okay. But it really does start and stop with you. Like, you have to be the gatekeeper of your child's safety and their innocence and their well-being. And mostly just your conviction. It's, I'm not here to shame anyone. I am not here to judge anyone. If I was feeling anything, it was my own conviction. Same thing if you walk into church and you feel the pastor is speaking right to you. That's God speaking to you. That's called conviction. That's not someone trying to shame you. He's speaking to a room full of people. And if you are feeling something inside of you stir that makes you a little uncomfortable or called out, that's conviction. And that's a good thing. That's a good place to start because that is where your journey really starts, is that conviction to turn slowly a little bit and get back on course. And God will accept you with open arms, always has, always will, no matter what.
That Amen. Was powerful. I love that. Thank you so much for joining me today. I loved hearing more of your story. I know it's going to speak to so many people, and I know you want to give God the glory. I'm excited to see how he uses you in the future.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I really appreciate it. And same to you. God bless you and everything you're doing with your show. Yeah, I'm just really thankful to be here and that you reached out. I think it's just an amazing connection and look forward to it.
Maybe one day we'll meet in person. You never know.
Yes, I would love that. I would love it. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.